The question of Russian meddling in the U.S. elections is the focus in Washington, D.C. today, as former Acting Attorney General Sally Yates and former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper appear before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime and Terrorism. What might we learn today? Well, Anne Applebaum is a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian and author of Gulag, A History, and columnist for The Washington Post. She has decades of experience reporting on Russian meddling of all kinds. Welcome, Anne.
Thanks very much.
Since we're talking Russia and elections, what's the buzz on Russia and the French elections?
Well, it looks like Russia tried to do in the French elections something like what it tried to do in the United States, namely hack into the campaign of the contender that they liked the least and leak some of the campaign emails and documents online. It didn't work, both because it looks like the Macron campaign, this is, of course, the winner, Emmanuel Macron
right.
campaign, seems to have anticipated what was going to happen and may have confused the leakers by giving fake passwords. But it also seems not to have worked because the French press and the French public just didn't buy it. They didn't read it. They didn't go through it. They didn't start arguing about it. It just didn't become a factor at the end of the campaign.
And would you say that as the Russians attempted to manipulate or find people that they could, you know, move as levers of power, that they found people more than happy to get paid to be essentially foreign agents, even right in the middle of the campaign, Flynn and possibly others included?
Well, it's certainly clear that Flynn and, of course, Paul Manafort, who's been working for pro-Russian candidates in Ukraine for many years, had longstanding connections to Russia and had certainly earned money from Russia in the past. You know, that is a little bit different from saying that the Russians were paying them to be in the Trump campaign, but you don't have to be very conspiratorial or look very hard to find out that, you know, these are people who have other financial connections to Russia. So I'm not sure that Putin would necessarily have had to try very hard to get people who had Russian connections into the Trump campaign, because Trump seems to have picked them himself.
All right. So as Yates and Clapper come to testify, what are the inconsistencies that they are likely to underscore, that in a sense, the testimony that may be false, that's already come from agents of the Trump campaign, agents of the Trump administration, that Yates and Clapper will say, no, that it didn't happen that way at all?
Well, there's some confusion over what Yates seems to have told the Trump campaign, or actually it was the Trump administration by then, that there had been contacts between Flynn and the Russian ambassador. She seems to have informed them. And the Trump administration now says, no, that wasn't what she was doing. She wasn't informing us. So there's a difference of opinion over what she said, whether she was warning them about Flynn, what she knew. And of course, there's a deeper question about what they knew. Did the Trump administration, as it now is, know that there were these longstanding connections of many of their members to the Russian ambassador and to other Russian figures? And if so, why are they hiding it? And why haven't they been able to explain what they were about? I mean, there are, as many people have repeated, there are lots of legitimate reasons to meet the Russian ambassador. You know, he's not a spy. He's not an unknown person in Washington. So why then are they concealing these meetings and what happened at them?
Given the situation with the attempt to confirm a secretary of the army and failure to do so, and the kinds of comments that are on the record from that individual, is it possible that the worst case scenario here for Trump in Yates and Clapper's testimony is that the Trump administration, when warned even of these kinds of allegations, just doesn't care? I mean, their standard for people being in the administration appears to be very low.
I mean, the sort of screw up theory of history is usually the best one. And yes, I mean, the fact that they just didn't care, or they weren't interested, or that it didn't bother them because they sort of rather admire the Russian government and they have no problem with, you know, its corruption or its authoritarianism. I mean, that's probably the best explanation for why they weren't bothered by these contacts. You know, they're just doesn't interest them as it doesn't seem like a disqualifying characteristic. I mean, having been paid by the Russian government, which would have almost any previous administration that one can remember going back to the Second World War, that would have been an issue or a problem for any American president, seems to be not a problem for this one. And so, yeah, I think that's probably that's the most scandalous thing about this story.
Finally, do you think it's the case that this whole affair in the United States is a smokescreen for Russian manipulation, which has a longstanding effectiveness in Eastern Europe and elsewhere?
I mean, look, I've been writing about Russian attempts to manipulate elections in Central Europe for many years, and it's been going on for a long time, and they've just got, you know, better and better at it. You know, that they tried to do that in the United States seems to me not really a question for debate anymore. I mean, we can see that they tried to do it, and we can now argue about whether it worked or not. What we don't know is to what degree was the administration complicit in that? Did they agree with it? Did they know what was going on? And did they help it? And I think that's what we still need to find out.
She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian and author of Gulag, A History, and she's a columnist for The Washington Post. Anne Applebaum, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.